Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is SportsGrid.
It is the early line. Keith Irizarry, Kevin Walsh with you, cruising along on this Monday morning, going through the gauntlet of the NFL week. And we got Monday Night Football tonight. We'll dive into that a little bit later in the show. Double back to Saturday because I was getting text messages, Kevin. Tom Brady is back. Buccaneers offense is back. All right, so yes, Tom Brady looked awesome. So yes, he only needed a half to do it. But oh, by the way, it was the Detroit Lions who just are not good at football. But let's talk about the good stuff. Tom Brady did look like an NFL QB again and looks like someone that could lead a team in the playoffs.
This is the one thing that I always try and do, right, is when a team that is a playoff contender, wherever they let right in the pecking order, and they play one of these really bad teams and they win big, right? How many teams beat the Lions by 40 this year, right? So at the end of the day, yeah, they played the Lions, but they did their job. And they did their job to a degree. I mean, Keith, when was the last time a quarterback got benched at half because the game was so far out of reach? I can't remember. I mean, I know Lamar wasn't playing fourths last year. Like, that Brady stat line is a halftime of work. 22 of 27, 348, and 4 scores. That is phenomenal. Because at the end of the day, kind of something that we were talking about before with calling people trash, like, those are still NFL players on the other side of the field, right? And this team now is in a rhythm. AB's finding the end zone. Brady and Mike Evans look like they're figuring out. Godwin also gets a score in this game. Bob Gronk ends up catching a couple as well. I mean, Blaine Gabbert's first drive was a touchdown to Gronkowski. They are clicking on all cylinders from this game. The Bucs are a team, though, that I've been telling people since they hit their bye, be careful buying everything with this team, because the game against the Vikings was the first one. It didn't look great, and you maybe thank Dan Bailey for it. The Falcons game, they were down 17-0. But bless the Falcons and their ability to lose games in just ridiculous fashions. Here's the Lions. Yeah, they did win by 40, but it's the Lions, to be fair. And then they're going to close out with the Falcons. They're going to probably win out here, which is impressive. And it's still the NFL, and it's hard to win 4 games in a row. But you take it for what it is. You take the context of it all. And I'm not going to run and tell people that, oh, Tampa's the hottest team in football. I don't view it that way.
Yeah, you got to look at who is on that list of teams you beat, and I think you're right, but I do believe when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like I can almost go back to what the Steelers have, right? Where the Steelers, we know they have talent, but we're playing terrible. The Buccaneers, we know they have talent. Now, Tom Brady suddenly, you know, first, whatever it was, 8 games, 10 games of the season, couldn't throw the deep ball. The risk it biscuit was not working for him. Him and Bruce Arians leading toward it. It's going to be a divorce. It's going to be terrible. And now maybe these two are becoming a little bit more cohesive. And you brought it up. All of these wide receivers and Gronkowski and mix them all in. If Brady's spreading the ball around to them, so much better for this offense. And at some point, they'll get Ronald Jones back. He'll be back in the fold. Leonard Fournette can kind of, you know, be a little bit more of the secondary piece, not the lead dog there. And I think that's better for Tampa Bay. Want to welcome in all of our radio audiences. We thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Monday morning. It is the early line. I am Keith Irizarry. He is Kevin Walsh as we continue to break down week 16 of the NFL. And we're going to move along now to the Dolphins and the Raiders. And for the first 2.5, maybe 3 quarters, Kevin, this game was terrible. It was a snooze fest. I was ready to go to bed. My alarm clock for Sunday morning is always set for about 4:15 in the morning because I get up for CBS that day. And I was a little bit tired on Sunday, but I'm glad I stayed up for it because it was an exciting end.
I don't even believe what I watched in this game. In every single thing, that none of it made sense. And I want to take Vegas to task for that decision to not score. Just score the darn touchdown. Have you seen your defense? A field goal beats you. It's not that far. Like, you can't be making that decision to pull up short there. Go into the end zone. And they didn't. And now that missed extra point by Carlson looms large. I get it. But that was a ridiculous decision from the Raiders. And the stretch for this team to close out the year is one that is so bad that, I mean, I know Gruden signed a contract that might keep him there until, you know, 2050. But we got to start having conversations. They can't keep collapsing to end every single season. On the other side of the field, Keith, this Tua stuff blows my mind. When they made that decision many, many weeks ago to bench Fitz for Tua, because Tua was the future and that's what was right for the team, that to me was a decision that said, we are choosing the growth and development of our young quarterback over making the playoffs. And in my opinion, you cannot have it both ways. And they are attempting to have it both ways. And you cannot tell me that players in that Dolphins locker room, when they now march into week 17, needing a win to lock themselves into the playoffs, are okay with sending Tua Tagovailoa out there when you have to go to Fitz when things look bad. That is unfair to the rest of those players. It's not easy to make the playoffs in the NFL, and they are sending out a lesser quarterback, and everybody knows it.
The concept of a closer that now Brian Flores is talking about, right? Like, Tua is ridiculous. Still our starting QB, but Fitzpatrick will come in if we need it. That's not an NFL thing. And listen, let's not knock Brian Flores. He may very well end up being the coach of the year, but he has made some odd choices this season for the Miami Dolphins. A lot of it has worked. I think there's a little bit more meat on this bone. Let's continue talking some Dolphins and some Raiders when we get back. It's Keith and Kevin, early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Ethan, Kevin with you on the early line. Got to double back. We got to go back to this Dolphins and Raiders game because I think there's more things to discuss there. We'll talk Miami in a second, but the Vegas Raiders, and Kevin, you talked about take the points when they're there. And this isn't a first guess or a second guess. This isn't any of that. But at the time, I literally was texting with a buddy of mine, and I said, once Daniel Carlson had missed that extra point, if you're going to kick the field goal here, you're now saying that we're only going to go up by two and a field goal the other way if something crazy happens beats us. And my buddy was like, oh, how's that going to happen? I'm like, because it's the NFL and sometimes crazy things happen. I get it. You didn't want to give Miami the ball with 59 seconds left if you ran the touchdown in with Josh Jacobs. You'd rather give them the ball with whatever it was, 17 or 19 seconds. But albeit, Gruden's mistake ended up costing the Raiders and essentially ended their season. And let's go back to what Gruden said when he first took that job, Kevin. He said, if I can't help us win, then I'm not accepting their money. What I want to know is John Gruden going to start giving back some of his salary?
Yeah, I think it might be time, John. I tell you what, Mr. Gruden, it ain't working. And we can talk about a Vegas Raiders roster that needed to be revamped, and him and Mayock are trying their best. I get it. Last year, they lost five of their last six games, and the two most notable was a trip to MetLife to play the Jets, where they got ran off of the field by still what was an underperforming Jets team, and a game where it was the final game in the black hole. And they choked it away against a terrible Jaguars team. And if had they won that game, I think they would have controlled their own destiny over the final 2 weeks. They lose 5 of 6 last year. And now where are we? Well, another scenario where they've lost 5 of their last 6 games, eliminated from the playoffs. And you look at those games. Okay, you lose to the Chiefs. I get it. You were competitive the whole way. Except you make the cardinal sin of sports. You buy your own press clippings after a loss. You can't do it, and the Falcons blow you out. You should have lost to the Jets again, but at least Greg Williams put the signal on and let you guys win that game. Embarrassed by the Colts in Vegas, the Chargers game, what a mess of all messes. And then here in Miami, 3 games in a row in Vegas. So many opportunities to turn this ship back around. And they just never answered the bell. But both sides of the ball, disappointing. It's an unacceptable performance.
Gruden's supposed to be this mastermind. I don't get it. You know, it's almost like with the Eagles. We were talking about that in hour number one with Miles Sanders, right? Like, you know he's talented. You know he's running the ball well. Why aren't you running with him more? Josh Jacobs, unless he's really legitimately banged up and hurt and the Raiders don't want to let us know, I don't understand why they don't use this guy more and ride his back, especially knowing that Derek Carr wasn't able to move at all coming off the groin injury. We weren't even sure if dude was going to play. I think the Raiders have salted away a great opportunity to be in the postseason. And John Gruden, you said it once again, he has failed this organization. Let's go back over to the Miami Dolphins, the team that ended up coming back to beat them. This concept of a closer is not something we've ever seen in the NFL. And the broadcast team kept telling us, beating us head on Saturday night, that there's no fracture in the locker room. Everybody's excited about having both Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Kevin, you've been around the game for a long time as well. Huh. Isn't the old adage, if you have two QBs, you really don't have a QB? So how can this work if they do find their way into the postseason?
This doesn't work. This doesn't work. This is ridiculous. This is not a thing. There's no such thing as a closer at the quarterback position. Like, I understand when you're trying to figure out who your starting quarterback is, right? You know, you said it, right? If you have two, you don't have one. It's week 16. We know who the better quarterback is for this team. You don't want to play him because you drafted the other quarterback with the 5th selection in the draft. And that's fine. That happens. You make long-term decisions. Because I said a while ago here on this show that maybe the Dolphins, with that shiny Texans pick that's going to land, say, somewhere in the top six, want to reconsider the future of their quarterback position. And they want immediate answers on Tua because they're going to be impatient. And the thing is, it's not crazy. Ask Josh Rosen if it's wild that a team moves on from somebody immediately. It's not. It happens. Haskins had a cup of coffee with that starting job in Washington. Wentz got paid a record-breaking contract, and then months later, they drafted a quarterback in the second round. Quarterbacks go like this. So I understand if they wanted to get the answers on Tua immediately. You're not letting yourselves get the full answers. You need to let him finish that game against Denver. You need to let him finish this game against Vegas. And if you lose and miss the playoffs, you can say, well, we saw what we had in Tua. Or we saw we want to move into next season with this guy as our quarterback, as our franchise quarterback. Keith, the only answer I have is that this team has a loss against Denver where I have to now start to think to myself, had Fitz quarterback the whole game, they don't lose, and they're still alive for the AFC East title.
It's confusing for, you know, people like you and me. It's confusing for the fans, but I actually think that it's just confusing for the Dolphins. When you laid it out like that, it's got me thinking, I think they're unsure. I do. I think that there are probably people in that organization that are like, all right, I think we might have made the wrong decision with Tua. He may not be the guy going forward. But then I also think that there's upper management that's pushing Brian Flores to utilize Tua as much as possible to try to figure this out, which is hard for a young coach who sees, like, the playoffs are right there. I can grab you. You're right there. And now I have to make decisions based on what my bosses are telling me. Let's throw this, too. I think Flores has done a good job. You know, the running back situation has been murky at times, and Myles Gaskin was on the COVID list. He was injured. He comes back, looked great on Saturday night. You're bringing Savon Ahmed, that most people couldn't even say his name coming into the year. He had a couple of good games. You got rid of Jordan Howard. Devontae Parker has been a shell of himself from last year, having the breakout season, yet Miami does find themselves right in the thick of things for the postseason. So I think the Dolphins are moving in the right direction, but they're not sure what that direction is per se. Yeah. Let's go back to Mahomes and Rodgers. We talked about it a little bit in hour number one. As we now see the FanDuel book and we sit there and you go, Aaron Rodgers now at minus money to be your league MVP. Mahomes interception yesterday maybe clouds his view on what he can do heading towards an MVP. When I crunch some of the numbers on these two guys, it really is insanely close when you're talking about two elite quarterbacks. One is obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. One, if everything goes well, will probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mahomes might make the first ballot at this point already. I mean, but at the end of the, like, Mahomes was on a trajectory. And I kept mentioning, when you just looked at what the odds said, 3 years as a starter, two regular season MVPs, two Super Bowl wins, and two Super Bowl trophies. Now, the Super Bowl win is more important, and the Super Bowl MVP is great, and those are still the favored outcomes on the board. But there is a reason why they say this is why we play the game, because you never know what's going to happen here. And Mahomes has lost the grip of this award. And that's important, not just because of the award and the significance of Aaron Rodgers being able to win another one, but him losing control of that MVP award while they're still winning games justifies anybody that lists concerns over the way this team is playing. They are winning despite Mahomes not playing his best brand of football. And that's why the Chiefs are a team that I would say, Keith, I am not going to be picking against very likely in the playoffs, but they are far from an unbeatable team, which at times they felt like.
Yeah, we're always looking for that lock, and the Chiefs are not the lock. The crazy thing is Mahomes, we sit here and say not playing his best football. Maybe he's not, but still first in passing yards on the season. But Aaron Rodgers got a lot of good numbers as well. Looks like Aaron Rodgers could be cruising to an MVP.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a Monday morning, Keith Irizarry, Kevin Walsh with you on the early line. We've been wall-to-wall NFL, but Kev, we got to dive into a little bit of NBA action because James Harden made his season debut. The Rockets finally got a chance to play a game on Saturday. Say what you want about James Harden, and I was on Coast to Coast all week last week, and Cam and I had some fun with this and discussing just him and how he's handled everything. Let's throw that to the side for a second. Mm-hmm. Dude just drops 44 points, 17 assists, clearly even in quotes, James Harden yet. So let's give him some love for what he can do on the floor.
At the end of the day, like, the reason why we are entertaining all of these other James Harden stories is because this is one of the best players in the world that is making these headlines. And I think it almost served as a nice reminder to everybody that we are not talking about the 19th best player in the world. This is one of the seven best dudes doing it. Absolutely. 44 and 17 assists to who? To who did he have 17 assists? I mean, Christian Wood looked really, really good in this game. I mean, but David Nwaba's cracking the starting lineup. PJ Tucker checked in for 3 of 10 from the field. Like, I mean, Deshaun Tate ripped off a 37-minute night. And James Harden is out there competing in Portland on a night where CJ McCollum's going for career highs and Damian Lillard's got it working from beyond the arc. This is one of the absolute best players in the world. I know the postseason struggles. I get it. I'm not saying they don't exist. But there's a reason why Brooklyn, as good as they look and as good as that roster is considering a move for this guy. Why Daryl Morey is considering moving an all-NBA caliber player in Ben Simmons. Why Miami, off of an Eastern Conference championship win, is considering bringing in a player like James Harden, because he is worth that consideration because he's one of the absolute best in the world, period.
I want to get blasphemous for a second because Steph Curry and James Harden have pretty much seen their careers on a parallel, right? Like, both of them have kind of risen to their highest ranks at the same time. And Steph Curry is a two-time MVP, Harden one time. Steph Curry never led the league in scoring. Harden has. Steph Curry, obviously, with those rings, and James Harden hasn't gotten there. But you look at the Rockets this year, if Harden stays, and the Warriors. So Curry doesn't have the weapons around him, and Harden really doesn't have weapons around him. Harden is more built to carry a team. I think that, and it's blasphemy because Steph Curry is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We know all of that. But Steph Curry, I know Warriors a seed in the Western Conference. I think James Harden is used to carrying teams on his back.
James Harden hasn't missed the playoffs once since he's been in Houston. So, yeah, he's not even used to counting. It's not a workload that wears him down. Steph does have his injuries. And for a long time, Keith, I would ask myself, are we sure Steph is better than Harden? I mean, I understand what ended up kind of being the tilting point for me is when the Warriors went at the Rockets and there was no Kevin Durant available a couple of postseasons ago, and Steph still ended up getting the Rockets out of there. Now, did he have a better roster at the time? I don't know. The Rockets roster was good. Draymond, Clay, Chris Paul. It was close. But the reality for James Harden is if he had all of a sudden the ability to be either, and I think the two most attractive spots for him are either Brooklyn or Miami. In Brooklyn, option B behind Kevin Durant, or in Miami, a part of, and I don't know if people are tired of hearing the word culture with them, but it's a real thing. A part of that culture where I feel like they can get through those usual James Harden struggles. He is on the very short list of players of greatest players of all time to not win an NBA championship. James Harden is going to finish very high, if not at the peak of that conversation. He is going to try and shift that conversation. That's why he is asking out. And I think the reality is the fact that Steph, a multiple time champion, and you can have a valid conversation around that, Keith, speaks to just how good James Harden is.
James Harden is a walking bucket. And unfortunately for him, in the generation that he's playing, there are other generational greats, right? Like LeBron James is one of the two or three greatest players that have ever laced up sneakers and have been in the NBA. Kevin Durant finds himself in that similar situation, where he's probably the second best player of this generation. He falls a little behind LeBron. James Harden, unfortunately, because he hasn't won the championship, like, kind of gets, like, you know, poo-pooed and pushed to the side, like, oh, you're a selfish player. But he's led the league in assists per game. Even on Saturday, goes for 44 and still gets 17 assists. Now, the defensive woes, they are there. But James Harden, for all that we say about, like, Steph Curry, right, that Steph Curry kind of changed the game. He made people believe that shooting was cool. The same thing that, you know, Michael Jordan made people think that dunking was cool. And LeBron and Kobe carried that torch along. And there have been guys that have made passing cool. James Harden has made that step back that some people call a travel cool. Like, my 10-year-old son literally works on the James Harden step back all of the time. And my 6-year-old son now works on the James Harden step back. So if we're going to throw it all out there, James Harden hasn't won the championship, but he's kind of changed the NBA.
He's a big part of this past decade. No two ways about it. And that's why I think him in another spot would be interesting. But Keith, I guess the craziest take that I have, and something that I tweeted out in all caps after this game: stay in Houston. I don't think he needs to leave. I understand. Now, I'm not saying he has a better chance to win a title with one of those Eastern Conference contenders. I'm not saying he doesn't. But they got eliminated last year, the Houston Rockets, by the LA Lakers. That team won the championship. Are we sure that if the Rockets would have been able to, and that's the problem with Fertitta, he didn't want to pay more, he didn't want to pay Mike D'Antoni, too much change. I understand him wanting out, but if we get over the, if somebody can beat the Lakers for the Rockets, right? You mean to tell me that this Houston team can't take down the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game set if Wall and Boogie can return to an 80% level, considering how good Harden is, how good Wood looks, PJ Tucker's value? I kind of like the roster here. Eric Gordon also. Three of their top five guys weren't available, and they're in Portland in overtime entirely on Harden's back.
And Harden's clearly not even in his shape. I'm with you. The whole narrative of him not being a winner, by the way, if Chris Paul doesn't blow out his leg or his hamstring, whatever it was 3 years ago in game 6, I believe they win, and I believe they're in the finals, and I believe that we'll see. Maybe it's a little bit different in the NBA finals for him. James Harden, 44 points, 17 assists. Lost in that, by the way, CJ McCollum also went for 44. Damian Lillard had 32. On Sunday, Luka Doncic, he played awesome. Kawhi Leonard did not play. The LA Clippers, through the first two games of the season, looked awesome. Clearly, without Kawhi Leonard, they're going to struggle. But I love this, and for our TV audience, you're seeing this. Sunday fun day in LA. Let's head home. That was the Mavericks tweet. I love it.
This is the thing with the Clippers. Because of what they did last year, running their mouths. I've never seen a team do this, Keith. Just because you have the reigning finals MVP, you didn't win anything. I've never seen a team have a championship attitude. People are like, yeah, this Clipper season will be different. They're not going to rest on their laurels. What were they resting on? They accomplished nothing. Pat Bev and Lou Will took a couple of games off the Warriors. The roster was different. PG was in OKC getting bounced with Damian Lillard dotting one in his eye. And him going, it was still a bad shot. What a bozo. And they got bounced in embarrassing fashion. So they win opening night against the Lakers. Now, LeBron didn't play the final 8 minutes. It didn't look like the Lakers wanted that game. But okay, listen. You got the job done. Then the Nuggets. And that's a big, you know, monkey off the back, right, Keith? They have to get through that. Over both of those games, they had big 20-plus point leads. And there were moments in those games where it's like, oh, boy, this doesn't look great. You mean to tell Kawhi Leonard ain't worth 50 points, my friend. Now, I'm not telling you that this is an indictment on the Clippers' ability to win a title. But this is a team that talks so much, and the whole year is about, oh, we're not going to rest on our laurels. We're going to be competitive. We're going to be dogs. We're going to grind it out. You get 50 balled at home on a Sunday afternoon. This is their back to being like, yeah, see, we're 2-0, beat the Lakers in the Nuggets. We're good. We're fine. What do we know? They're not. And if, by the way, the justification for this is, oh, they don't have Kawhi. Well, then we got a problem because he's not making up 50 points. And you're a first-round exit if this is the type of performance you're going to put out there, whether Kawhi comes back or not. He'll be back, obviously.
Yeah, and I know that Doc Rivers is gone, and we talk about it in Miami. You mentioned the word culture, right? Like the culture for the Clippers. And maybe this comes from Steve Ballmer. And you mentioned them being, you know, like a bragging team. And Ballmer has a little bit of that about him. Like, mm-hmm. I love him. I probably want to have him be the owner of my team, you know, more than the guy that owns the team that I do root for, the New York Knicks. But like, maybe the culture kind of trickles down from there and the culture doesn't, like, fully mesh. Really fast, how about the Brooklyn Nets? And in the first two games, they looked awesome. And maybe the win over the Warriors isn't as big. I'm loving what I'm seeing with the dynamic between Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I think this is something that we can get into. The Brooklyn Nets, they do fall to the Charlotte Hornets 106-104 on Sunday. We'll dive into that and start looking ahead towards the games coming up tonight. All that, so much more from Keith and Kevin with you on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know what I love? It is the Early Line, Keith and Kevin with you. I love when there's a guy like Terry Rozier that says, all right, so LaMelo Ball, you drafted him. You want him to take my spot, but I'm gonna go for 40 in game number one and hit 10 three-pointers. I'm going to dunk it on Kevin Durant, and I'm not going to give up that spot. Kevin, it leads me into the Brooklyn Nets, who got their first taste of defeat with the Durant and Kyrie team. Let's not care too much about that. As you are seeing it so far, how do you view this relationship on the court between Durant and Kyrie? We know they're boys off the court, but they look pretty good on the court so far.
But I do think the off the court is important. It does feel like Durant might actually be the perfect person to put next to Kyrie, because Durant at this point, like, he's at a point in his life where he just kind of acknowledges everything. He's not worried about it, and he's direct. He's like, yeah, whatever. Kyrie probably sprays incense before 2 games. He's a weird dude, but it is what it is. We're hoping. And, like, it works. It really, really does. This loss to the Hornets, like you said, the loss to the Hornets, it is what it is. People are going to lose games throughout the course of the season. No one's going 72-0. There's only 5 unbeaten teams left. One of them's the Cavs. Like, teams are going to obviously lose their games. the fact that they lost this game with Durant having 29 and Kyrie having 25 and them both being plus 7, I would say the Caris LeVert performance was a bit concerning, but he has a good shot at sixth man of the year. I just, when I watch this team, Keith, especially over the first two games, the roster is so good. They're so deep, and they have the top-end talent. That's why the Harden trade I've had pauses on. Because, and listen, at the end of the day, if you have Durant, Kyrie, and Harden, you probably take that. But they have two of the, look, Durant's probably, for me, the second-best player in the world, and Kyrie checks in somewhere in the top 15, and the way he's playing, that number will fluctuate a little bit, right? But then you've got a DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen pairing at the five. That makes all the sense in the world. You've got Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert that can rotate as a sixth man of the year or a starting two-guard type of option. And is Joe Harris just not the perfect complementary piece to stretch the floor and knock down big threes when needed? Plus other guys, TLC, Torian Prince, Jeff Green, guys that can just come in and give respectable, serviceable minutes here. I love everything that Brooklyn is bringing to the table.
Yeah, Landry Shamet, throw him in there as well. Brooklyn, yeah. You're right. They can go 10 or 11 deep. A lot of this season will be contingent on Kevin Durant being Kevin Durant, and at least through three games, he looks like he's the KD of old, and Kyrie Irving looks to be engaged, and I'm in love with the game of Caris LeVert. I'm with you, though. If the opportunity to have James Harden paired with those two, it intrigues me, and I think that's a team that, is virtually unstoppable on the offensive end of things. But as the Brooklyn Nets are built and constituted right now, you got the Bucks, you have the Nets, you have the Celtics, you have the Sixers and the Heat. All of these teams have an opportunity to get there. Bucks lost to the Knicks, got absolutely crushed. It was crazy. How about those New York Knicks? And you mentioned undefeated teams. Kevin, do you know that the Orlando Magic are still 3-0, but how about these New York Knicks putting 130 points up on the Bucks?
I don't think we're allowed to hit a panic button three games into an NBA season, especially not in a shortened year.
It's frowned upon.
But 130 to the Knicks? What? Are you kidding me? That's unacceptable in the highest order. And think back to game one against the Celtics. The game that I hope is the low point for me as an NBA bettor, with the Bucks losing that game and the money. Oh, gosh, I cannot believe that game. But they gave up 120. Tatum and Brown looked like they were going to be co-MVPs by season end. Celtics offense hasn't looked the same since that game. Okay, they held the Warriors to 98. It's the Warriors at this point. I mean, it's like they look like a disaster. I mean, the Knicks shot 59.3% from three. What? Now, maybe that's an anomaly. Maybe it's an anomaly. But Milwaukee on the other end shooting 18% from three, like, this is not how this is supposed to look. Every time they played the Knicks last year, it was a route burial blowout. Just ran them off the court. Milwaukee, and maybe you know what it is, Keith? Maybe for them, they've got to the top of the East 2 years in a row and it's amounted to absolutely nothing. They're just not as engaged in the regular season as they have been over the past two seasons.
But I'm wondering if maybe that's the better way, right? We saw the Lakers and LeBron James kind of last year still being the best team in the Western Conference, but picking their spots when to dominate teams. I wonder if Milwaukee sits back and goes, all right, we can't coast through a regular season, but we need to make sure that we are prepared for the postseason and go through the highs and lows, albeit losing to the Knicks by 20, 130 to 110 is just not a good look for a Bucks team that wants to get to an NBA championship. Five NBA games on the slate tonight. Pistons, Hawks, Grizzlies, Nets, Jazz and Thunder, Rockets and the Nuggets, Blazers and Lakers. Let's just run through these really fast and kind of just break them down, each one just a little bit. Pistons and Hawks. Hawks, as we stand here right now, 9.5-point favorites. Trae Young is looking every bit of the all-star that he was last year and the guy that potentially could be one of the better scorers in the NBA. Dude's averaging 36 and change points per game, also 8 assists per game.
Yeah, I love everything Trae Young's bringing to the table. We might get Clint Capella's season debut here. The reality is the Pistons can't score the ball. And you might look at their overtime total against the Cavs, like, oh, they got points. The only reason that that game went to double overtime is because the Pistons were scoreless in the final 4 minutes of that game against the Cavs. 9.5 is a big number to lay, but a Pistons team total under seems like a nice way to maybe make a living.
I like that too. 9.5 does scare me as we sit here right now at what, 8:45, 8:46 in the morning on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Grizzlies and the Nets. I think Brooklyn will find a way to bounce back, but maybe lost in what Memphis is doing. You know, Ja Morant opened the season with 44 points, now averaging 36 points per game, and he actually looks like his game is even better through the first, you know, two or three games of the season than it was last year, and he was awesome last year.
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing from Ja Morant. I think that this team is going to be fun, but they need Jaren Jackson Jr. back to be competitive. I will just say, buyer beware. 6.5 feels low. Durant, Kyrie, first time this is going to be a back-to-back. I'm not sure if both are playing, and even if they're playing, it could be a minutes restriction. I would wait on this number.
I'm with you. Kyrie averaging over 29 points per game. Kevin Durant putting in almost 27. Jazz at right now at 7.5-point favorites at the Thunder. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's look good for OKC. Donovan Mitchell trying to prove to everybody that he, you know, earned that big contract, averaging 20.5 points per game, about 5-6 assists per game. Spida has looked good. How do you like this game?
This is tough for me because the Jazz looked every bit as impressive as I thought they would an opening night. And then they let the Timberwolves catch a game off them in Utah, which was really surprising to me. The Thunder last year were ATS machines. Now, they've lost a lot of pieces, but maybe it's just is time to roll with them until they let you down. They covered and won outright as a dog in their opener against the Hornets. Here they are hosting the Jazz, like getting 8.5 points. I think the Thunder are actually kind of scary to bet against until they actually start to play to the level that we think they will. Looks like we just lost Keith there for a second. I'll continue to roll through this NBA slate for you guys, though. Two more games that we do want to bring up before we talk about the Monday Night Football. Denver hosting the Houston Rockets. And this is, again, it's another exciting game. Keith and I spent a lot of time talking here about James Harden and his season debut. Who's available tonight for the Rockets? It seems like it'll be similar in terms of the players available to what was out there against Portland. Can you do that twice? Can you really be that competitive against the possible Western Conference playoff team twice with that kind of players available to you? It's going to be a mountain to climb, I think, right? And can Harden play up to that level twice? Probably. I think he can, but it is a big ask. The other problem, though, is Denver's not looked the part, have they? Two games in, two losses, a home double overtime loss to the Kings that felt quite embarrassing. And then again, the Clippers kind of taking their lunch money from them. I know there was a push down the end there, but the Nuggets ultimately not doing enough, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. 223.5 is a number that feels light on the total. I feel like this game should play towards the over. Denver needs a game where they get right on the offensive side of the ball, and that Rockets defense might be enough to do it. So we'll kind of get a feel for if they can in this game. I think it's going to be a really, really important game, though, for both squads. And then your final game on this NBA slate here, the Lakers and the Blazers. No total on the board, and we've learned this here on the early line. When a total is absent, typically it means from the book they are uncertain on player availability. And I think the spread even goes further to show the book is uncertain on player availability from the Lakers. The Lakers only laying 4 to the Blazers. Compare that to the 6.5 that they laid to the Dallas Mavericks. And the Mavericks are a team that I believe would be still power rated above the Portland Trail Blazers. Anthony Davis missed last night's game against the Timberwolves with a calf-ish injury. Could that possibly be more than just rest on the front end of a doubleheader? And maybe he's going to miss this game. Maybe they're worried about LeBron, whether it would be similar to what we talked about with Durant and Kyrie missing the game, or at the minimum, a minutes restriction. This is another spot here, guys. This is the early line. It's great to get early lines. And if you want to take a risk that AD and LeBron are out there and playing a full complement of minutes at -4, you can beat that number. Yes, you can. Conversely, if you think AD and LeBron are unavailable at +4 for Portland, you can beat that number. I think, though, it might be a little bit more beneficial to give this some time to breathe, and let's get a total on the board. Let's get a sense of how this game's going to look, who is in for us, and who is out, and then go from there. I do want to switch over to Monday Night Football because we do have an AFC East showdown tonight, and this is a game still with big-time playoff implications. But before we talk about those playoff implications, you see right there on the graphic, the Bills and the Pats. You've got the Bills laying 7. But what if I told you you could get the Bills getting 94 points, maybe 100 points? You'd say that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. Spread the Love campaign over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. $50 max bet, so you can win $45 on a -110 number. You get the best of this number. Every single 1,000 customers that put in a bet here, 2,000 customers that put in a bet for the Buffalo Bills gets this number up. So this thing started at -7. And it is now at +94. I have the Spread the Love ticket in the back pocket, and you should too. Let's call it what it is, guys. It's a free $45. That's what it is. You max bet this thing, and you take advantage of a great little promo here from the FanDuel Sportsbook. And now you feel like you have a little bit more wiggle room coming into this game. As far as a side goes, as far as a total goes, there's some interesting spots here, but if you've been following us on the early line, you know what the most important thing about this game is. Cam Newton's passing yards. I've been holding this over 2,499.5 passing yard prop from Cam Newton from the beginning of the year, and we need 119 yards. And I don't know if he's going to play week 17. Dane certainly scared me enough to worry. But we can clear 119 in this game. His over-under is 168.5. Need Cam to fling this ball all over the park. When we come back, we will wrap up this edition of the Early Line and talk a little bit more Monday Night Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid. Final segment of the show. I want to make sure I thank Keith Arizari for stepping up and an excellent job from him today. Unfortunately, the internet connection, it's tough these days. Everybody's been having some internet issues drop for him, but he'll be with us back here again tomorrow. And tomorrow, we will be recapping this Monday Night Football game that does have playoff implications between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. No longer for the New England Patriots. They have been eliminated from the playoff race. But the Buffalo Bills are fighting for seeding. And that chance to be the 2 seed is valuable. Because if somebody does knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, then the AFC runs through Orchard Park. And more importantly, it at least gives them the ability to say that the earliest they could see the Kansas City Chiefs would be that AFC title game. And let's be honest with ourselves, no matter how poorly that Chiefs team is playing, the later you see them, the better. I think the Buffalo Bills tonight here, it's a hard team to go against. And I know it's New England, and I know it's in Foxborough, but the Bills right now are playing really good football. I think they are willing to run it up. And the Pats last week against the Dolphins, once Stephon Gilmore left, it really was a change for this team. Again, I'm not going to lay the 7 because I got the Bills getting 90-something points, maybe 100. I do think the over of 46.5 might have some meat on the bone because of the way that the Bills are playing. My absolute favorite bet on the board here, though, guys, Stephon Diggs over 83.5 receiving yards. He has gone over this number 3 games in a row, 6 of his last 7 outings. Diggs has an opportunity to finish this season with the most receiving yards of any player in the league. He's 100 off the lead right now of Travis Kelce, so keep your eye on Diggs. Finally, want to get this quick story in here. Yesterday, a former Cy Young was traded. Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays is now going to find a new home in San Diego with the Padres. I love how aggressive the Padres are staying. keep your foot on the pedal. It was a great year for you last year. Continue that momentum, bringing in a guy like Blake Snell. As far as the Rays go, they have a track record of this working out for this team. They know when to move off of guys, and they know the prospects to get back. And it wouldn't surprise me in the long run if this works out for them again. But that'll do it for the early line. We keep it right here on the Sports Grid. The morning after is up next.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.